One of the great comforts in Scripture is that God gives us permission to groan, to complain. We have permission to tell God and one another what we don't feel is right and not fair. And so we can cry out to God and to one another and to the world what we think is not just, what has caused harm or hurt, and to mourn our losses. This summer, we began to go through the book of Exodus in our Wednesday noon Bible study. And that's what the people of God do over and over again. They grumble, they complain, they groan. They may be suffering or bored with the diet or impatient with God or with Moses. And they let God and Moses know that they're not happy. Our gospel reading is a parable about the kingdom of heaven, which is also like Israel, the people of God and his kingdom. And the question is, why God, and this is coming from the angels, why God would allow both weeds and wheat to grow together until the harvest? Why would God allow good and evil to coexist? The workers question the master, "Do you want us to go and gather the weeds? Do you want us to do what most farmers do, which is to remove the weeds so they don't capitalize on the water and the soil and the sunlight?" But the master, the farmer, says, "No." This parable, as it's introduced even this morning in our reading, is a string of parables. And so it's really just one aspect of the kingdom of heaven. So we don't have all aspects of the kingdom of heaven in this one parable. So we ought to be careful. But it challenges us to live our lives in a way that brings good and hope to the world, even in the face of a world plagued by evil. And it's okay to question. It's normal to wonder why God does not end evil now. We have permission to groan and to yearn for the day when God will right every wrong, bring life where there is death, righteousness where there is sinfulness. That's what we hope for. That's what we long for and pray for. And it will not be a hope that will disappoint us. Jesus will come back to make all things new. But the problem is not just with what is out there in the world, as the parable suggests. It's not enough to groan about what others do. Our groaning and struggle is also with and within ourselves. In 1970, there was a cartoonist named Walt Kelly who famously said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." It's a sober reminder that even as the children of God, even in this kingdom of heaven on earth, those of us who have been baptized into God's family, that we are both simultaneously sinners and saints. The Reformers have been saying this for, 500 years. Simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously justified and sinners. We have in the field of our hearts both weeds and wheat. And it's normal, and it's even desirable, that we groan for the redemption of our bodies, that we yearn to be free from our suffering, persecution from without, but our own sinful nature from within. Once I was asked by a stranger, "Are you saved?" Just out of the blue, somebody asked me. I knew what they were asking. They were asking if I believed in Jesus and if I had the assurance of forgiveness and eternal life. But I couldn't resist. "Am I saved?" "Yes," I said. "But I'm being saved daily by God's Spirit. And I am not yet ultimately saved until Jesus comes back and makes all things new. I'm saved, being saved, and will be saved. In the meantime, I'm groaning and yearning for that time." If we're not groaning for the redemption of this world, we might be in denial or in critical need of compassion and empathy for the world around us. How many shootings do we need to hear about in the news before we begin to groan and cry out? Or how many persecutions should we hear about all throughout the world of our own Christian sisters and brothers before we start to cry out for justice? How many innocent lives lost in war and skirmishes? How many injustices? How many weeds threatening to rob the wheat of precious soil, water, and sunlight? God, don't you want us to remove the weeds? The angels even ask. If we're not groaning for the redemption of our own bodies, even our own selves, we are also maybe in denial or in critical need of self-reflection and what Paul calls the spirit that testifies or bears witness to our own spirit. A little prayer and reflection and contemplation. When we hear the word of God and the Holy Spirit begins to work in our minds and our hearts and lives, God shows us that we are both sinners and saints. The Spirit shows us that we have weeds and wheat in us and among us in the fields of our hearts. We are children of God, yes. We cry out, "Abba, Father." We have forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, but we also groan for that day. We groan for the world and all creation. We actually join creation in its groaning for redemption. For the brokenness of this world and the evil that continues to threaten from without and from within. The weeds out there and the weeds right here. The good news is that our groaning is legit. It's legitimate, and God validates it. Our sense that things are not right in the world, and things are not right here at ground zero. God is also grieved and saddened. The Spirit, we're told, is grieved and saddened. But He doesn't just complain. He doesn't just cry out. God does something. He sends His Son to be born into the world, to suffer and die, so that He would redeem us and that He would give His final groan on the cross for us, yearning for our redemption. And we are redeemed. We're bought and purchased, not with perishable things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we're recycled into purposefulness and meaningfulness for God's kingdom. And so Jesus makes all things new. He will transform our complaining into thanksgiving, our suffering to victory, and our groaning to shout for joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.